But we begin with the spread of the invisible disorder that somewhere between 100 and 300,000 veterans brought back from war. Trauma. Secondary traumatic stress is often called compassion fatigue. It affects spouses mostly, but children and extended family members can also experience symptoms similar to the PTSD suffered by their loved ones, even though the original trauma is not their own. Mac McClelland is human rights reporter for Mother Jones, and she's working on a book about PTSD. She wrote an article about the phenomenon of secondary traumatic stress. And Mac, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
So your article follows one family in particular, the Vines. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
Sure. Brandon Vines, that's the wife, she runs an organization for spouses of veterans, both husbands and wives, and the reason that she started that is because when her husband came back from his second tour, after his first tour, things were still pretty normal, but after his second tour, he had severe PTSD and traumatic brain injury at the same time, which makes it more complicated to treat PTSD. And she started finding that she was having symptoms of her own. She started having really severe flashbacks and nightmares of places that she'd never even been to before. She felt nervous all the time, sort of agitated in the standard way that people with PTSD will be, hyper aware, hyper vigilant, looking for danger all over the place, you know, things that make sense for a person who is in war, has been to war, but, you know, she's a housewife in Alabama. So she started trying to find other people who were experiencing the same thing that she was because she'd never heard of it before. And now she has thousands of people around her and they all work together on sort of online support groups and forums and things like that to back each other up while they go through this same experience.
And in addition to Brandon, Caleb's wife, her daughter, Katie, 6 years old, I think, experienced some secondary traumatic stress symptoms. She lashed out at school. She spat on another kid, sometimes mirroring her dad's symptoms. Now, how common is it for children to display these kinds of symptoms?
It's not uncommon at all. A lot of the people who have joined Brandon's support group and come to her organization for support, they report the same things with their own children. And if you look at the studies that they've been doing for a long time, they did a bunch of studies with the children of Vietnam veterans decades ago, and they were showing symptoms of PTSD as well, even though, of course, as kids, they had never been to war and had never even been outside of America. So it's actually a pretty old and established phenomenon, just one that hasn't got very much exposure yet.
Besides suffering the original trauma, are there any other significant differences in the way that PTSD and secondary traumatic stress disorder present themselves?
No, that's the thing, is that in the diagnostical descriptions of it and when clinicians talk about it in these studies, they say it's basically exactly the same. You can have exactly the same range of symptoms as a person who went through something extremely traumatic themselves. And in fact, being around a person who's under great, great amounts of post-traumatic stress, and you can imagine if they're having flashbacks, outbursts, often violent outbursts, they're struggling with substance abuse many times, having a person like that in your house and being around them all the time can become sort of your own trauma.
We're talking about the phenomenon of secondary post-traumatic stress. It's a kind of contagious PTSD for families of soldiers who have returned from war. My guess is Mac McClelland, human rights reporter for Mother Jones magazine. And that's the bitter irony, Mac, that is that the source of trauma for the secondary sufferer is the person with PTSD. Do mostly women suffer from secondary traumatic stress?
Well, in the case of veterans, you know, just the majority of them happen to be men. So, but there are probably more women just by the numbers of, you know, the way that the breakdown of the gender of veterans is. But again, Brandon has lots of men in her organization who are struggling with their wives, who are veterans, combat veterans, who are having the same problems. And so these husbands are having the same symptoms as these military wives.
So many of the people who suffer from secondary traumatic stress are those who live with and care for the veterans, the wives, the children. How is that going to change their capacity for self-care?
Well, that's the thing, is they sort of give up on their own self-care while they're trying to be the primary caretakers to these family members who are the ones who actually suffered the trauma in the first place. So Brandon, for example, will tell everyone who she talks to, and her phone rings constantly. She just answers emails and talks on the phone of people who are experiencing these symptoms and are sort of desperately Googling around and just find her that way. She's always telling them, you know, you have to breathe, you have to try to take care of yourself, but that's one of the very standard and well-documented sort of fallouts, is that you don't take care of yourself because you're trying to take care of somebody else, and then your symptoms get even worse until, you know, you get into kind of a cycle until you hit bottom. But unfortunately, a lot of these people don't have access to any sort of other support. You know, they don't have therapy. The spouses of veterans can't just go to the VA and ask for secondary trauma assistance. And so in a lot of cases, Brandon, for example, lives in Alabama, not a lot of trauma specialist therapists around there. A lot of times they're just not getting any professional backup that would really, really help them out.
Well, this is all informal. People are calling Brandon because they think they're experiencing symptoms. But you point out in your article how difficult it is to get diagnoses and treatment of PTSD or traumatic brain injury. How do you get a diagnosis for secondary trauma?
That's right. It would be hard. You would have to be around someone who knew about secondary trauma. In the case of Brandon, where she lives, and kind of, it's not exactly rural, but it's certainly not metropolitan Alabama, it's hard for her to get a therapist who understands what she's talking about. So she's gone to a few, and she ended up feeling like she was spending more time explaining to them what was happening. And again, this is well documented, and there have been lots of studies, and there are lots of therapists who do know about it, but when they don't, it's like any other specialty. If you don't have the person who knows what they're talking about, they can't really help you.
Well, Mac, we have just a minute before we wrap, but I'm wondering, you know, you write about Caleb. He has had a difficult road, but he now has a service dog. What about people like Brennan or his daughter? Where can they turn?
They unfortunately don't have too many options. You can go to your local VA center, and there's a lot of different kinds of VA centers, not just the clinics, but also outpatient groups and places like that. And you can ask them if they know of any local resources. Sometimes they will, and sometimes they won't. And you just have to try to find private therapy on your own if you can't afford that or if you can't locate that. That's what these support groups like Brandon's are for.
Mac McClelland, human rights reporter for Mother Jones Magazine. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
She's also working on a book about PTSD, but you can find a link to read her article, Is PTSD Contagious? That's at wordofmouthradio.org.